Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 2, Antilila. It's a very nice story. The story is called Garunga Empowers Nakula Brahmachari. Tasaba tarite prabhu sehi sabadeshe yogya bhakta jiva dehe karena aveshe. To deliver people in regions throughout the universe who could not meet him, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally entered the bodies of pure devotees. Pretty significant verse when you think about the spreading of Krishna consciousness throughout the world. There are devotees that appear in Russia and Germany, India, Japan, Africa. They take birth in all these countries and they become very advanced in Krishna bhakti. And then Lord Chaitanya decides to use those devotees to spread Krishna consciousness. For example, a devotee may take birth in Canada. He joins Krishna consciousness movement in Canada. Then he serves in England. Then finally he ends up in Hungary. Because it turns out that he knows Hungarian language. But it was never an opportunity to preach in Hungary because it was a closed country due to communism. So as soon as it opened, then Lord Chaitanya, he chose this man. Yes, you're the one. You go to Hungary and you liberate these people and you give them Krishna consciousness. I will empower you. Kali Kalera Dharma Krishna Nam Sankirtan Krishna Shakti Vini Nahi Tara Pravartan. In Kali Yuga, the Dharma is Nam Sankirtan. This is the bhajan. This is the religion. This is the process for perfection. And we can take advantage of all this by mercy of Guru and Gauranga. So devotees, here Lord Chaitanya is saying here, or Krishna's coverage is, Ta Sabha Tarite Prabhu Se Savadesh. He's saying Savadeshe in all countries. Desh means country or land. He's not saying in Bharat may, or India may. He's saying in all countries. To deliver people in regions throughout the universe who could not meet him, Mahaprabhu personally entered the bodies of pure devotees. So how many people have met Lord Chaitanya? A lot. A lot met Lord Chaitanya. But they had to live 500 years ago. Because he's not here now in that form. But he's here in the form of his devotees, whom he chooses to empower to represent him. A very significant verse. This is Antilila chapter 2, verse 13. Yogya bhakta jiva dehe Krishna avesh. Avesh means to enter or to become absorbed. Like we say, Griya Pravesh, to enter into, or Mandir Pravesh. So this was going on 500 years ago. This is going on right now. Lord Chaitanya is entering into the bodies of different devotees and giving them the Shakti, Krishna Shakti. And with that power of Krishna, then they can establish the Dharma of Krishna consciousness. And we've seen one little boy. He was born in Germany. He went to school. He went to grammar school and high school. Then he went to college. And then at the young age of 18, he joined the... It's kind of, That's good, thanks. At the age of 18, he joined ISKCON, and he washed dishes and cut vegetables. And pretty soon he learned how to play mridanga and kartal. And he was chanting and studying. And then after a few years, Lord Chaitanya said, "All right, now I want you to liberate Germany." This little boy that appeared in Germany. So this little boy, he was empowered by Lord Chaitanya to spread Krishna consciousness. The little boy grew up into a man. He took his Vaishnav Diksha. He realized Krishna. He studied the Shastras. And his name is Sachinandan Swami. So he's doing the Lord's work. He's doing Lord Chaitanya's work in Germany. And of course other countries. But his special field is Germany, because he speaks German. Then another boy was born in Russia. Then he grew up. And then he took Diksha. And then Lord Chaitanya entered his heart and inspired him and empowered him with the Shakti to spread Krishna consciousness there. And he's known as Bhakti Vigyan Goswami Maharaj. He speaks Russian and English. And so in this way, Lord Chaitanya is entering so many personalities to spread Krishna consciousness. And it says that people who could not meet him, so we are unfortunate that we could not meet Lord Chaitanya face to face, but we're very fortunate that we can meet his sons. We can meet his representatives. His sons are like sons. Son is like a name for a family, a member of a family is called the son, the father's son, but the sun is also the planet, which gives light, gives knowledge, gives understanding. So that's why Krishna's Kaviraj says, Krishna Surya Samamaya Hai Andhakara. When the sun shines, the darkness goes. So when one meets a devotee, then he receives the sun of Krishna consciousness, Krishna Surya. And that sun, Krishna Surya, that sun of Krishna consciousness dries out the darkness of Maya. And then we can understand Krishna and realize him. Se jive nija bhakti karena prakash tahara darshane vaishnav haya sarvadesh. Lord Chaitanya empowered living beings by manifesting in them as much of his own devotion, so much of his own devotion, that people in all their countries became devotees by seeing them. So this is, of course, speaking when he was directly here. When Lord Chaitanya was directly here, he was moving all over India, and he was embracing some devotees and chanting in their ear and glancing at them. And then when they received the glance or the touch or the mantra from Lord Chaitanya, then they went back to their villages. And although those people in the villages didn't have the opportunity to meet or touch or hear Lord Chaitanya, they met someone that did. And when they met someone that had met Lord Chaitanya, then they also became devotees just by seeing them. So we see someone like Srila Prabhupada. He was so powerful that people just see him. And they become devotees. Just seeing Prabhupada. Because he's so extraordinary. Because everyone, we've seen so many men and so many ladies, so many old people and young people. But we never in our lives ever saw anybody that had a head like Srila Prabhupada. Just the shape of his head and his mouth and nose and everything about him was rather extraordinary. The most significant aspect of his head was the way he held his head, or the way his head was put on his body, or whatever. It was like on about 75 degree angle. It's always like this. It was always like this. But although his head was like on this position, you never had the feeling that he was looking down at you. Because we have a phrase in English, "Oh, your nose is in the air," or something like that. Some aristocratic or royal person or wealthy person or beautiful person, they become unduly proud of their assets. And then they position their head like, yes, oh yes, what do you want? And they look down their nose at you. But Prabhupada, his head was like way up there, but he was always looking heart to heart. He was always looking at you heart to heart, and you felt so much humility in his glance. You felt so much love and kindness and humility in his glance. Although he had every reason to look down at his nose, but he never was like that. And by physically, his stature was rather short. Yeah, I think he was 5 feet 1 inch tall. Something like that. Extremely short. But he seemed, even physically, very tall. But the distinguishing feature of Prabhupada's body was his head, no doubt. And everyone thought that he's seeing something that very special up there. He's looking way up there. But at the same time, he was looking at Krishna and Radharani in the spiritual world. But at the same time, he could relate to you equally. Even if you're a hippie from the street, you didn't feel that, you felt that he was your friend. You felt that he was your equal. Or even you felt like you were a little better than him. Because he would cook for you, and he would serve you, and he would help you, and he would always make you feel good. And he never demanded anything. He never demanded respect, or, hey, don't you know who I am? And it wasn't for a long time till everyone figured out, oh, maybe Swamiji, we should show a little respect to him. It took several months before anyone figured out that, gee, actually, I think Swamiji is a saint. I think Swamiji is actually someone very special. And maybe we should wash the dishes today. I think we should volunteer to wash the pots. And pretty soon they said, well, maybe we should even serve out the food instead of having Swamiji serve us. And then after some time they thought, well, maybe we can also cook. Because Swamiji, you know, he can cook for himself, but we should learn how to cook for ourselves since we're all coming here every day. But we like this food too much that Swamiji's making, so we have to ask him if he'll teach us how to make it. So then one day someone says, Swamiji, Kirtananda, he said, can we learn something, how to make this Indian food? Oh, yes. And then he taught them. So, Prabhupada, he is, like it says here, that people became devotees just by seeing him. And it's a fact, Prabhupada had striking features, an aristocratic nose and large earlobes, or large ears, and big nose, which is also auspicious, at least depending on the shape, and rather large mouth. And as Sally Agarwal used to say, that Prabhupada had a beautiful smile, a very broad smile, and when he smiled, it was oceanic. Oceanic means like the ocean. It was very, very huge. The ocean is very wide and it's very deep also, and very powerful, as everyone knows. When the ocean gets angry sometimes, the ocean gets angry and gets whipped up, you know, like your wife sometimes gets whipped up into anger. Her husband's also. And they get whipped up into anger, and they pots start flying and lamps start flying here and there. So when the ocean is angry, then she starts, you know, throwing waves all over the place and wipes out a few islands and islanders and boardwalks and casinos and any kind of thing that's lying along the beach. Prabhupada was in South Africa one time, and there was a hurricane, and there was so much wind that the buses were flying through the air. So he went to, he was quite amazed. So when he went from South Africa, some cyclone or something, then he was in England, he said, I have just come from South Africa, and this Mother Nature can get so much suffering we can experience, that the buses were flying through the air. You can hear on the tape. And then the devotees are in the room, and they said, buses? Prabhupada said, yeah, it's buses, I saw. You know, the city bus flying through the air. When there was this hurricane or whatever it was, maybe cyclone or typhoon in Orissa a few years ago, the cows and bulls were flying through the air. That's right. It was a very amazing hurricane. We must have heard. It was a few years ago. And this girl was just here as Marissa, but in a village where Gaura Govindaswamy has his temple, Gopalju, that whole village was wiped out. All the coconut trees, it was so powerful, even the coconut trees were uprooted. Usually coconut trees just bend and bend and bend, you know. But they just, all the, just like some kind of chopper just came and chopped everything, you know, this down, and cows and bulls are flying through the air just like a, just like, you know, I don't know, piece of cotton. So much animals were killed, and it was very horrible. But a very special, interesting happened is that when that hurricane first started, it was right near Jagannath Puri. And then it actually went further north and came in at Simaladweep or some Paradweep. It's called Paradweep. There's a small river there. It went a little bit north towards Calcutta, then it tore into Orissa there and chopped everything up. It was a big problem. So this hurricane was coming towards, was right opposite Jagannath Puri, and was coming towards Puri with this huge tidal wave. And many devotees that lived there, many different saints and rishis, just at the time it was coming, heavy winds were just coming, and they thought it was going to wipe out the Jagannath temple or something. It was so powerful. And then people, many eyewitnesses were there, because I heard from them when I visited. And they said they saw from the chakra, on the top of the temple, there's a chakra on Jagannath's temple. They saw some fire coming, some heavy fire. Then the chakra went off the temple. You know, that chakra became very big and like a ball of fire. And it went right out there towards the ocean. And went out towards the ocean, and they didn't see what happened. But what happened was that the storm, because everyone's telling on the TV or radio, they said the storm's coming towards Puri. It's going to hit Puri in 10 minutes or 20 minutes. Everyone prepare to die or whatever. Chant Hare Krishna. Get out your bead bag, dust it off, and start chanting. Because now the time is up. So then, everyone's getting prepared. And then they saw this big chakra came flying off the temple and went towards the ocean and knocked off that demon. Because they said it was some demon out there, actually. This is like this, because it's demoniac. And then that tidal wave got smashed down right before it came to the beach. And then the storm, this turn, and this went, was coming straight towards Jagannath Temple. Then it went about 6 to 8, 10 kilometers beyond Puri. Then went inside. Then massive devastation. So, kind of a little diversion from the class. But the idea is that the empowered living beings that say Jive Nija Bhakti Karina Prakash, Tahar Darshani Vaishnav Haya Sarvadesh. Mahaprabhu, he manifests them in so much of his own devotion that people in all their countries became devotees by seeing them. So this happens. This is called Prabhav. Prabhav means influence. That we become very much influenced by what we see. It says here, Tahara Darshane Vaishnav Hana Sarvadesh. All countries by Vaishnav Darshan. We can hear so much from Vaishnavas, and that's also very important because that changes our consciousness, changes our conception and way of thinking. But also seeing Vaishnavas, it has great influence or Prabhav. And here Krishna's Kaviraj is saying that just by seeing a Krishna Shakti Vaishnava, a Vaishnava who's empowered with Krishna Shakti, that's enough. Darshan is enough to change them. That's why Indians, they have in their culture this concept of darshan. Let me go, oh, I came, Maharaj, I came to see you. Oh, what can I do for you? Well, we just came to take your darshan. You must have heard this term. Or maybe you've done that. That's nice. Sadhus are happy that you come to take darshan. They're more happy if you ask questions. Because whoever asks questions and whoever answers both become purified in the exchange of Harikatha. Because darshan is one thing, but if you have darshan and Harikatha, that's much more beneficial. Because you have the Vaishnav Kripa than the Krishna Kripa. Because when you speak Harikatha, then Krishna comes there. And if you just see the Vaishnava, then the Vaishnava is there. Of course, he also represents Krishna. So it's double benefit. And most people don't have that idea. They don't really want too much benefit at once. They said, darshan's enough, don't say anything. Because if you say anything, that might turn me upside down and change my way of thinking. We had some guests the other day, and they came from San Francisco, some Indians. And they're friends of some other person. They just came to see Bunky Vihari, and then they came all the way out to Radhakund just to take darshan. I said, well, you know, you came to take darshan, but since you came this far, it's my duty to cut you to pieces. So they put their heads on a chopping block, and I lowered the guillotine on behalf of Prabhupada and the Parampara because they needed some chops. not in a malicious way or envious way. Like the doctor is not a demon. If you have a cancerous tumor and the doctor whips out a big knife and cuts a hole in your belly and cuts out the tumor, you don't think he's a demon. You don't think he's malicious or ill-motivated or, you know, a sadist. You think he's benign. He's my well-wisher. He's kind. He's helping me. And you're rather thankful and grateful. Oh, doctor, you saved my life. And someone thinks, what do you mean save your life? You have a big hole in your belly. 27 stitches. So how is that mercy? This is mercy. If you're going down the street in Harlem and some guy comes up and sticks a knife in your belly and cuts it and takes your money, then you don't think that's mercy. They think that's some bad luck, you know. So intention is everything. So we have to have proper intentions. Everything should, the undercurrent or the stream of the constant stream that's flowing in a preacher's heart is the stream of Karuna. Karuna Nadi. Nadi means river and Karuna means compassion. So there should always be a stream of compassion or love in the heart of a preacher. If there's any envy there, then that's polluted water. If the water has gasoline or oil in it, it becomes polluted. Or in the case of Kaliya, he put so much poison in Yamuna, all the fish were dying. So it's very important. That's why usually advanced devotees preach. Because advanced devotees have some degree of love and compassion. And they're not envious. So they become well-wishers. And of course, Srila Prabhupada was the ultimate well-wisher. He had the heavyweight world championship. Like they have the world championship in heavyweight boxing. So that's only one person can win that title. So the real heavyweight, the one that had that title to the upteenth degree of your well-wisher was certainly Srila Prabhupada. Because we may be a well-wisher and we wish well for others, but we can't say we're ever well-wishers. There's a difference between being a well-wisher and ever. Ever means nitya. Like we may wish well sometimes for some people, but at other times we may wish that they fall on their heads and crack it. We may wish you well today, and we may wish that you go to hell tomorrow. Wish you well today and wish you go to hell tomorrow. But Prabhupada is ever well-wisher. Chobis Ganta, 24 hours every day. Ever, you can say ever means everlasting. Everlasting means ananta, means unlimited, and it means eternal, nitya. Ever means everlasting. Even such a well-wisher, some people can wish you well when they're alive. Like your uncle, he's rich, and he's always giving a little money here and there. So you consider him your well-wisher, because money is something we like very well, or like very much. So he's a well-wisher, or someone who's very kind and gives good advice and encouragement to you in your down times in life, or your sad times, a friend or an uncle. But then he dies, so then how can he wish you well from the other side? Once he's dead, he's gone. So he can't hear you out or guide you or speak to you. But Prabhupada, because with the Vaishnavas, the Avirbhava and Tirubhava is the same. Because the sun is always shining, but the sun appears to be rising and setting. So the rising is Avirbhava and the setting is Tirubhava. But the sun is always in the sky, and it's always shining, and it's always brilliant, giving us heat and light and health. So the Guru Sadguru is always in the sky of our heart. He never sets. He never rises. He's always there. As Chaitya Guru and as Shiksha and Diksha Guru. So he's always shining in the sky of the heart and giving us nourishment and light and health. So Prabhupada is, he is our everlasting well-wisher, because when he's manifest or unmanifest, he's still wishing us well. As Gaura Govinda Maharaj said, that Guru, when he's here, he manages everything. Hands-on management. They say, hands-off, buddy. There's hands-on. Hands-on management. Hands-on means heart. Hands on our heart. It's not hands on our mind. He gives us freedom of mind, freedom of choice. And Guru is not a warden, and we're not in a prison. We're not prisoners of the Guru. We're free agents. But he has hands on our heart, and he handles our heart very carefully, to bring out our love, and to increase our love for Krishna. This is compassion. But then, as Gaura Govinda Swami is saying, when Guru ascends to the spiritual world and he enters the Nitya Lila Pravesh, like we read the previous word, it says Avesh. Avesh means enter. So Mahaprabhu enters into devotees around the world to spread Krishna consciousness. And when those devotees become Siddha or perfect in Krishna consciousness, then they also enter. It's called Lila Pravesh. They enter the pastimes of the Lord. Nitya Lila Pravesh. Nitya Lila Pravishta Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Padivraja Kachari Ashtotar Sata Shishima Desi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So even when Gaura Govinda Swami is saying, even when the Sadguru, he enters into the Leela in the spiritual world, he's still from there, he's managing the devotees. He's managing from there. He's guiding, he's blessing. In fact, he's more effective sometimes in that position. Because there, he doesn't have any other things on his mind except us and his service to Radha and Krishna. But here in this world, he has to deal with flight airplanes and hotels and apartments and cars and timings and everything. And there's so many things that are superfluous to the actual managing and guidance of his disciples. But when he's there, he doesn't have to worry about catching a flight and getting quarantined in the airport or getting inoculations or passports or visas and so many things just to get to see his devotees, disciples, and to manage them. There is direct connection. There's no static. There's no interference. There's no interference in his broadcast. But when he wants to broadcast his message in this material world, there's so much interference and so many obstacles from demons, from the material energy itself, missing the flight, fog, snow, hurricane, 3 days layover, this and that, the other thing. So it's difficult for him to meet his disciples when Prabhupada was here and guide them. But up there, it's a straight, you know, red line to the heart of the disciple. He just picks up the phone, ha, aribo, Krishnadas, immediately. Comes in the heart. Doesn't have to catch a plane or get a ticket or book his this, that, or ride on the Jaladuta for 3 months. Right? He wanted to give the message to us, but he had to sit on the Jaladuta and suffer heart attacks and all these things. So it took him 3 months to come and give us the message. But in the spiritual world, it takes 3 milliseconds. 3 milliseconds to give the message. Hey, Krishnadas, Uto, get up. Get out of Maya. Oh, Jai Gurudev. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Instantaneous messaging. I have these advertisements for phones. Instantaneous messaging. Service. They have all these IMS or whatever. So the Sadguru and his disciple, they have heart-to-heart connection. Lightning fast. Super fast. So Prabhupada has a purport to this verse, how that Krishna empowers the pure devotees by prakash. Say jive nije bhakti karena prakash. Nija bhakti means his own devotion. His own devotion means braj bhakti, radha bhakti. His braj prema bhakti he manifests in the heart of his devotees. And then when people see them, they become devotees. Devotees preaching devotees around the world, sannyasis, gurus, or anyone who's preaching and actually empowered, they all have the experience of people coming back to them and saying, Swamiji, I saw you once. And so, in such and such place, and somehow I couldn't forget you. and just I just saw you, and after seeing you, I decided I should become vegetarian. I should start chanting Hare Krishna. Devotees have this experience. So what is it going on? It's Lord Chaitanya's will, and it's his action. It's his mercy is coming through in this way. In his purport, Prabhupada also quotes from Chaitanya Charitamrita, the verse I mentioned before. Antilila 7:11. Kali Kalera Dharma Krishna Nam Sankirtan Krishna Shakti Bina Nahi Tara Pravartan. Unless one is empowered by Krishna, Sri Krishna Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one cannot spread the holy names of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra throughout the world. Persons who do so are empowered. Sometimes they are called Avesh Avatar. Avesh means when we say Shakti Avesh, the power has entered them. Avesh means enter. It also means absorbed. They are absorbed in the Shakti, or the Shakti has absorbed it, has become absorbed in them. Shakti Avesh. So some of Prabhupada's godbrothers, they glorified him by saying he was Nityananda Shakti Avesh. They quite directly said that Srila Prabhupada was definitely a Shakti Avesh avatar of Nityananda. Because Nityananda was very, very merciful to the Jagais and Mudhais. If you see the preaching of Lord Chaitanya, he preached to everyone, even tigers and elephants and deer in the Jharkhand forest. But that was an exceptional, that comes under the miracle pastime program. Like walking on water and all that kind of stuff. You know, avatars always do special things, like Jesus walked on water and just to show off his powers. So Lord Chaitanya, just to kind of show off his powers, he was slapping tigers and deer and making them kiss and embrace and chant Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. But that wasn't as he wasn't just going around the circuses preaching to tigers. That was an exceptional That was a Naimittik Leela, an occasional pastime. It is not his daily preaching. But we see his preaching. Usually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is preaching to the big guys, the influential people, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, because he wanted to do the hole-in-one program. Because if you catch the leader, then you catch the followers. Just like you convert Narottam, Narottam became a Gaudiya Vaishnav, pure devotee Lord Chaitanya, then he went to Manipur, and he preached to the king of Manipur and made the king Vaishnava, Gaudiya Vaishnava. So then the king declared that the state religion of Manipur is Gaudiya Vaishnavism, and he enforced that, and he said the national language is Bengali. So all the newspapers and books must be written in Bengali, and everyone must learn to read Bengali so they can read all the Vaishnava scriptures. And to this day it's the same way. The daily newspaper of Manipur is printed in Bengali characters, but Manipuri language. So he preached to one person, the king, and then the whole state became Vaishnava. And you see around, even 500 years later, the influence of Narottam Das Thakur. The place is full of Manipuris. Because they have so much regard, even to this day, for Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Because of one preacher and one king. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was employing that technique of preaching. Preach to Sarvabhauma, convert him, then you get 60,000 disciples. Preach to Prakashananda Saraswati and Benares, convince him, and you get 60,000 disciples. So you preach to two, and you get 1,20,000. Pretty good. Give a two-hour lecture, and you get 1,00,000, you know, get 1,00,000, or get 60,000 disciples in 1 hour. Because you can convert the guru, and he says, oh, this is the right, and the Tattvavadis in South India, and all over the place. So this was his pretty much his standard. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always meeting with Brahmins and Pandits and Acharyas because he was trying to preach at a higher level. But then he told Nityananda, listen, I'm absorbed now in my Radhabhav and I'm relishing these deep moods of Mahabhav. So I've withdrawn from this mainline preaching function. So I want you to stay in Bengal and Navadvip and don't bother coming every year for Rath Yatra because I want you to do what I can't do, what I can't do now, meant to say. So he sent Nityananda back to preach. And even when he was there, Nityananda, he wasn't so much just going to pandits and acharyas and brahmins. What was he doing? He was going door to door sankirtan. I don't mean selling paintings either. He wasn't selling paintings door to door with Haridas. They weren't two college artists. See, this is my name is Nittai, and this is my friend Haridas. You know, we're art students, and we're just going from door to door showing our paintings, and we're trying to get some money for tuition. Maybe you can help us out. Oh, you seem like nice boys. What, do you have any seascapes? Oh, you have some you have some birds flying over the ocean? Yeah, we have some of that. How much is that? Well, you know, we'll give you to a cost price, you know, which is $3 for $300. That cost is $3, but we'll just give it to your cost, you know, materials and time. You know, it's like $300. Oh, only $300 for a piece of original art. Yeah, see, I signed it on the bottom, Haridas. See, Haridas? This is mine here. It says Nittai. Nittai. That's nice. So they weren't selling paintings door to door. They were preaching Krishna consciousness. And then, and they were so humble. How would they preach? I mean, Lord Chaitanya, he was preaching with all kinds of Vedic and Vedanta quotations and quoting Sanskrit and splitting Sanskrit and taking one verse and dissecting it into 64 different meanings. The Atmaram verse, Atmaramas Chamunio. Verse from the second canto of Bhagavatam. It describes the consciousness how Atmaram Munis are even attracted by the beauty and sweetness of Krishna. And then when he's preaching to, maybe it was Sarvabhauma, I think, in Puri, and then he took that verse and he said, listen, I can explain this to you. And he explained it in 64 different meanings. So he's extremely learned and scholarly preaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's like sometimes the devotees that go to college, so they get PhD and preach to the professors. Well, it's already done by Nimai Pandit. He was doing professor preaching. All right, you can say maybe he was the origin of Bhaktivedanta Institute. He started the first scientific preaching. Was done by Mahaprabhu, because he only preached to the scientists. He only preached to the spiritual scientists of India. You can see, everywhere he went, he tackled the big guys, the heavyweight champions of philosophy. And then his preaching is so, even when he's a little boy, he showed his stuff. When he was a little boy, Nimai Pandit and Digvijay Keshav Kashmir, or Keshav Kashmiri, the Kashmir Brahmin came to Navadvip to get a Vijay Patra, to get a certificate of victory from all the pundits of Navadvip that they would be afraid to challenge him in Naya and Vyakaran and Kavya and Sahitya and Alankar, all the different aspects of Veda, of Vedic Sahitya literature, grammar, logic, poetry. And they were all kind of shaking in their boots and their knees were wobbling. And then he went to Nimai Pandit and he said, come on, let's go. And he said, listen, you're a big pundit. Here's the Ganga. And I'm bathing here every day and playing with my friends. We're just little children. And we don't know very much about Sanskrit. But you're a famous pundit. We're really honored to have you. Could you entertain our hearts and ears by glorifying Ma Ganga? And he said, oh, yes, certainly, my boy. Just sit down, everyone. Sit down, children. I will speak the glories of Ganga Devi. Da da da, Om Ganga, Chajimani, da da. You know, and he goes on. You know, for like 100 verses, 100 verses, 100 with char pada, 4 pada means 4 lines, 4 times 100, 400 padas, and all in seemingly perfect order and with proper chanda and rag and melody and everything, and Nimai Pandit is sitting there like, you know, typical Bhagavatam class, you know, like, you know, he's kind of nodding out and leaning on his friend and. Oh yeah, very good. Yeah, acha acha bodhisha, ha ha, ji ha 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 ji. And then he was finished his recitation, and then so the pundit says, "So boys, how did you like it?" I said, "Oh, it's fantastic. It's wonderful. How could you do it on the spot, without just your tongue, your verses were flowing like the Ganga herself, nonstop, just in rapid movement, rapid fire." Yes, 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 yes. And. So then, anything you found wrong or any? Well, actually, you know, in verse number 7 there was this problem, and verse 27 there was, and then Nimai Pandit started picking apart verse by, you know, different verses, and the guy was totally astonished. And so, from a young age, Nimai Pandit was showing that he was going to tackle the big guys, he was going to take on the big guys. But Nittai. He was delegated to take on the small guys, to deliver the lowest of the lowest of the lowest. And the example of that is Jagai and Madai. But even going door to door means anybody and everybody. Somebody opens the door and he's a pundit, And so the next guy opens the door and is a dacoit. The next guy is a gunda. And you know, anybody's behind those doors. As you know, when you go door to door, Sankirtan, you can meet any kind of crazy people or situations. So he would go with Nima. And not only that, he wouldn't just go with a bunch of books under his arms and say, "Hello, I'm Nityananda, this is Haridas. We'd like to convince you about the philosophy of spiritual life. And see, we have all these books with us to convince you." No, he would go door to door, and he had a straw, and he was holding a piece of biting a piece of straw in his mouth. And he would stand with folded hands, with some tears in his eyes, and his head bent low, bent down, in great humility. And Haridas would stand slightly beside him, on his left side. Nityananda was on the right, Haridas was on the left, and a little bit behind. And he was very, very skinny, and he would just be like this, like the embodiment of humility and submission and purity and simplicity and innocence. He just like his little shadow. And then the people would open the door, and they would, and then he would say, "Listen, my friend and I, we have just come to beg you. We have come just to beg you. Please, you know, Bhaja Gauranga, Loho Gauranga, Kaha Gauranga, Namare. Say, please just worship Gauranga. Bhaja Gauranga, Loho Gauranga, take Gauranga's name. And Krishna, Kauro Gauranga, serve Gauranga. That is all we beg you." And then they would say, Gauranga? Gauranga? Who is this Gauranga? And they would say, "Go, just you take this name and see what happens." And then sometimes if the people came and they said, "Oh, we're not interested in spiritual life," then they would fall on the ground. They would fall on the ground. Now I'm going to get a shower because the water tank overfilled. It's pretty good. He turned it off in time. Because usually, you know how those water tanks, you know, it's like Niagara Falls, right? It's good. He didn't want to get fired. That's a classic Indian thing, right? Douse the speaker. I mean, it's exactly right over there is a water tank, right? And usually the water is going all over here. It's the first time it never went over. So if someone was a little reluctant to take their teaching, then they would actually roll on the floor at the threshold of their houses. The threshold means the doorway. They would just collapse on the floor and start, "Oh, please, please," you know. So just see the mercy of Nittai. So that's why one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, he called Prabhupada Nityananda, he said, "Shaktivesh, Nityananda Shaktivesh." That Prabhupada, in the same way as Nityananda and Haridas went door to door, Prabhupada went country to country to all the mleches and yavanas and gnostics and asuras of the world. Prabhupada, of course, preached to high class people also, but he preached to the lowest and the highest, and without discrimination. And then he encouraged them all to take up Krishna consciousness. Emata Vesha Tarila Tribhuvan Kodeyachi Avesha Karidig Darshan. In this way, Mahaprabhu delivered the entire three worlds, not only by his personal presence, but also by empowering others. I shall briefly describe how he empowered a living being in Bengal. So first, Krishna's Kaviraj has established the principle. This is actually how preaching is done. Now I'm getting some love drops. I don't mind, but I don't want my book to get wet. Acha? Yeah, maybe it's some other kind of drops. Also love drops. So this is actually the style. It's called Tattva Vichara and Leela Vichara. Consideration of truth or philosophical aphorisms or points of philosophy or points of absolute truth or religious truths. And then you try to show examples of those. Like the Bhagavad Gita is full of tattva, but there's no actual stories to display, stories or examples of individuals that exemplify those qualities. But when you read the Bhagavatam is actually the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita in pastime form. It's like, theoretical knowledge and practical knowledge. So theory is one thing, but practice is another thing. So the theoretical knowledge of Gita is there, but putting that knowledge into practice with pastimes and persons is the Bhagavatam. So this is the style. So Krishna's Kaviraj is first telling the Tattva-vichara. Here's the principle. Here's the fact. Mahaprabhu empowered so many devotees, and anyone who saw them or heard them, they also became full of Krishna consciousness. And this way, Lord Chaitanya spread Krishna consciousness all over India and all around the world, and he continues to do the same at the present. So that's the truth. That's the theory. Now what's the practice? What's the proof? What's the example? So now he's going to give an example of someone who was empowered. Just as I cited the example, after speaking the principle, I cited the example of someone who was empowered and is empowered, and that's Srila Prabhupada. He was Nityananda Shaktivesh Avatar. Ambuya mulukehai nakula brahmachari parama vaishnava teno bara arikari. So this is one person who is empowered. His name is Nakul Brahmachari. He lived in Ambuya. So it's very particular. It gives the name of the person and the place he lived. So you could go to that place in Bengal and try to find old books and old diaries and old newspapers if they had such a thing, which they didn't. But you could find some old writings or diaries of people that lived there and somebody's great-great-grandfather's diary. And you could try to look and see, is there any mention of somebody from Ambuya named Nakula? And this way you could confirm whether, in terms of investigation, you could confirm the authenticity or the authority of these statements, historical statements of this book. Because, for example, you read in this book about Hussein Shah, the Muslim governor of Bengal. So if you read Bengal history, you'll see there's somebody named Hussein Shah. So this book is not some novel or some fiction or science fiction. It's actually quite correct. So there really was a person, and there really is such a village, and you could actually confirm if you wanted to. So he was a Parama Vaishnava. He was very advanced in Bara Adhikari. He had a lot of qualifications, really what it means. It says very advanced in devotional service. He was very highly qualified. And I think we'll find out how highly qualified he was tomorrow. So we'll continue the story because it's almost time. Nakula Brahmachari. In Ambuya Muluka, there was a person named Nakula Brahmachari who was a perfectly pure devotee, greatly advanced in devotional service. So this is Nakula. We can think about Nakula Brahmachari. Maybe we'll see him tonight in our dreams. Anything's possible. Right? Because such great devotees are not limited by time or place. We have dreams of our guru, but our guru's in the spiritual world. How far away is that? It's pretty far. But he can come, say, and tell us, and meet with us, and laugh with us, make us happy, instruct us. There's no limit. His guru always exists on a spiritual plane. When he's here, he's on a spiritual plane. And when he's there, he's on a spiritual plane. That's why I said Avirbhav, Tirabhav. When he's here, that's Avirbhav. When he's gone, that's Tirabhav. But the Bhav, still Bhav is there. Bhav means existence. Avir, we say, like Avesh. Avir means he's existing now, and Tiro means he's existing there. Disappearance. Like the sun, we say sunrise, sunset. But the word that's common is sun. Sunrise, sunset. Because the sun is always there, but to our vision it appears sometimes it's rising or sometimes it's setting. So guru is always there. He's always present. That's why he's called Sad. Sadguru means eternal, ever-existing, ever-present, not influenced by time. Something that's eternal is not influenced by time or space. Transcendental, right? Transcends. He goes beyond time and space. So if we're hankering for a connection with spiritual reality, then Guru is waiting to connect us to Krishna. When he's here and when he's there, his only duty is to connect us with Krishna.